Hello and welcome to the Decibel Boost podcast, the official music podcast of the website Surreal Resolution. I'm your host, Robert, and oh boy, my favorite thing in the world, Space Jam Discourse. Gotta love it. And with me, I have...
First, they went for the monarchy, and we all went with it because fuck those people. Ugh.
And...
You know, yeah, what? I'm making fucked up. How the hell,
dude?
You gonna leak the Snyder Cut?
I know, right?
Of all movies, Tom and Jerry. Of all movies, Tom and Jerry.
There are several screw-ups involved there. First off, making the Snyder Cut. Second of all, making Tom and Jerry. And then I guess there's uploading the Snyder Cut as Tom and Jerry, but, you know, at least that's a humorous surprise.
But you know, because according to one person on the internet, it was an inside job because they want to bury the movie because blah, 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 yada, yada. These fucking people are out of their minds. Insane.
Hashtag investigate the Snyder Cut.
Wow. Hopefully Tim won't listen to this thing too. People can just talk about it and move on, which I don't think they won't do. I mean, they should, but fucking the internet. They'll never forget. Or maybe they will.
But Mark, don't you understand? There's discourse everywhere. Space Jam, Dr. Seuss, and for some reason I'm supposed to give a shit about the monarchy one way or the other.
I mean, that's just because they're terrible people.
Listen, I want to go my life knowing as little about some rich married fucks as from the other side of the pond as possible, all right? Like, they could fucking die in a triple homicide with the resurrected corpse of Charles Manson for all I goddamn care. I'm just so sick of people talking about shit I don't give a fuck about. Why don't y'all try and,
what?
I don't know, talking about some shit I do give a fuck about.
This is proof that nature is healing. It's a slow process, but it's taking our minds off of, you know, everything else we've been sunk into over the last 5 years, which can only be a good thing.
I mean, I prefer more if everyone was talking about Godzilla versus Kong, which is coming out soon. I'm looking forward to that. You know, y'all could be cool people and give a shit about that. But whatever, I am a very selfish, self-absorbed bastard like that. It is my curse to bear, and I apologize for nothing. Anyway, here we are, episode 211. So, how's everyone's week been going?
Pretty good week. Getting a little busier, but, you know, that's about to happen when spring comes around. I got my tax return money, which, funny enough, it actually happened when I least expected it. Because we got a text from our landlord saying that, hey, your neighbor got some of your mail. Seemed kind of important, so I left it on the door. It was just like at 10:30 at night. So I opened the door, and there it was, my tax return check. Yay, free money. I'm happy about that. So I took some advice and finally got myself a new TV to replace the one I've had for like 10 years since my junior year of high school. Jeez.
Damn.
Yeah, but yeah. 40-inch 4K TV, like the smallest one they make for $250. It's not top of the line, but it does the job, and it does the job very well. And, yeah. I've been learning a lot about how normal people actually live, because, when I see people saying that a cutoff for payments is $80,000 a year for income, I'm here going, wait, people make $80,000 a year? How?
Probably a combination of illegal and only barely legal means.
Like, I'm sorry to some of y'all out there, but... God, look, hey, look. I may not be poor by definition. I'm poor by income. I don't make crap. I will gladly take some free, no-strings-attached government cheese because, yeah, I kind of need to fix my car and I could kind of use that money, so all y'all out there... Speak for yourselves, like I do. I'm speaking for myself. I'll take the free money. I could use it. I really want to fix my car. It's like, ugh. Sick of you fucking people trying to make shit out of everything. Just take the W and move on. Good lord. Oh, and to the rest of the internet out there complaining about Lola Bunny. Good God, man. Get a life somewhere else. If you're that focused on the measurements of a cartoon character, just... ugh. I don't even know with these people anymore. Just... ugh.
I will say there is one thing I'm very grateful for in regards to all that, is that it's revealing a whole lot of people who have yet to realize that Space Jam was never good. That y'all are lying to yourselves, that you haven't grown up out of it.
I mean, I know there's a lot of shit attached to the movie, but I will give it points for that. If it weren't for that movie, I never would have gotten into Looney Tunes as a whole, which meant I would have never gotten into classic animation or animation as a whole. So, yeah, ta-ta to that.
Anyway, Mark, what about you?
Well, let's see. Spring is reading Algae's back, which... I've been busy sneezing all fucking most of the fucking weekend, which it's not fun now. And of course, remember when I said that when I said that 2 weeks ago, I bought a certain anime if you shouldn't come here soon. That didn't happen yet. Like, okay, well, I feel like I was supposed to come last week, but it arrived late. It's still stuck in Tennessee.
Damn.
Even though, probably when this comes out, hopefully it'll be in my home because I wanted to be in my home.
That's happened to me a couple times. The mail service is still very fucky and
Can we fire Louis DeJoy out of a
cannon? If only it were that easy. If only it were that easy. But remember. We're stupid because we have very specific procedural guidelines for everything. That's our fatal flaw of society.
Yeah, there's that. And like most people, I say, you know, forget to check out that SpongeBob Sponge on the Run movie.
Uh-huh.
It was alright. Like, it was very, middle of the road. It's like, There's some good shit in there, and then there's the bullshit that reminds you of, oh, that's right, they made a spinoff of that. I don't know what or not. I don't know. I mean, I know they said the creator actually was okay with that.
There's a whole thing with that.
Yeah. It's a whole thing with that. It's like, whatever that shit. But anyway, the movie itself, you know what? It was fine. It was fine. Like Keanu Reeves as the sage. I mean, he's
crazy, uh-huh. Man.
Yeah, it's. I'll say this. Aren't you glad you didn't pay for a theater? I mean, to see this. I mean, you can do it all at your home. Even though U.S. people are considering people international already seen it, whether it be Canada theaters or Netflix or any other place.
The best part of that movie involved Danny Trejo, dancing zombies, and Snoop Dogg in Monster X, which says a lot about the movie as a whole.
You just said a bunch of words together. There's no way that's all in a scene, right?
I don't know.
It's an entire sequence. I watched it too because fuck it, why not?
Yeah.
Good.
It's weird as shit, but the weird shit that we can that's tolerable and not awkward.
Anyway, as for me, not much aside from the usual business. Although I did spend a whole lot of time playing Persona 5 Strikers, and I even beat the entire goddamn thing already. Musou's fun, apparently. Never really had a full experience with it, but, you know, it's fun times. They gotta stop calling my boy Morgana a cat, though, goddammit. Sorry, that's a tangent that's neither here nor there. But anyway, time to get on with our usual business for this podcast, starting, of course, with the new song discussions for the past week. As always, there will be a playlist down in the description so you can follow along with us and pick up some new tunes to listen to. Starting right off at the top here, with the return of a little thing that's been absent from our purview for quite a few months at this point. That's right, this past week saw the return of the bedroom covers from 2 Minutes to Late Night! I would scream it. I would scream it like I was the guy from Mutoid Man, but I can't scream. But yes, Gorsenio Hall and his multitude of cool musician friends are back to cover songs from their bedrooms with all kinds of goofy shit attached to the video as well. Coming back here with this week's cover, or rather this past week's cover, of Mouth for War, the album opener from Pantera's 1992 classic Vulgar Display of Power. I mean, what could be said about that track? You know, sick grooving riffs, great momentum, that killer outro. What's not to like? And of course, for the cover version, our lineup here is as follows. We have Reba Myers from Code Orange on guitar. Maddie Watkins from Year of the Knife on bass. Lizzie Hale from Hailstorm doing the vocals here. Of course, in-house drummer Ben Collar of Converge and Mutoid Man. Gina Gleason from Baroness on guitar. And of course, you have a Gorsenio doing guitars and some vocal accompaniments as well.
I believe the exact coinage was Gorsenio Hall. That shit.
Yes, yes. Just like it is every week. Whatever this shit is, he does it. Anyway, as for the cover, it's a pretty straightforward translation of the original. There is a bit more of, you know, that in-house 2 minutes, you know, buzzy sludge to it. There's a bit of an upswing in tempo towards that closing part. And, of course, Gorsenio and Hale have a solid enough dynamic filling at the high and low end of, you know, the full range of Phil Anselmo's vocals. Luckily, with zero white supremacy involved. Thank fuck for that. God fucking damn it, Phil. And then, of course, there's the requisite goofiness going on all around the video, with all kinds of clips ranging from Macho Man Randy Savage promoting Slim Jims to fucking Broly.
Yeah, and all that stuff, including like some of the weird transitions and like Monster Jam footage, that's from Code Orange.
Yes, yes, I'm very much sure it is.
Yeah, yeah. As much crap as we give them, they do have some fine green screen B-roll to them. And they managed to work in a good interpolation of domination in there at the very end, which threw me off track a little bit because I didn't realize it at first because they're playing it in a different key. But yeah, that was domination. Sounded good.
Yep. Only thing that's kind of a letdown is that there wasn't any footage of the classic Doom games. We all know why that should be there.
Yeah, maybe next time. And yeah, very good performance, very good video. The problem with Lizzie Hale isn't Lizzie Hale herself. It's the fact that Hailstorm is a pop band. Stop working with songwriters, guys. Even the Pretty Reckless doesn't do that. It's just, but whatever. And yes, that solo was on a Telecaster. Well done to stick it up to those old boomers who said, you can't play metal on a Telecaster. Because, you know, Gojira definitely does. And I want to give a shout to Maddie Watkins for that excellent manga shelf she's got. Dragon Ball, JoJo, Monster, Devilman, Akira, and my favorite shoujo series, Blackbird, on their exquisite taste. Very good. I appreciate that.
One of us.
Yeah. Yeah. Very good. Very good. Good to have this kind of stuff going back. And thankfully for all of us, the proceeds for this video, they're for a good cause. Which, you know, should be always good.
Indeed. Anyway, now moving on to the second track here. So, the band Zhao, who have been kicking around in the metalcore scene arguably just as long as veterans like Converge, see what we did there, are coming out with their newest album this year, April 9th, titled The Crimson Corridor. And we have the first release song from the album, Croatoan, which apparently I think has something to do with, like, settlers who were visiting America in, like, the 1500s or something. I kind of forgot to take notes on that whole story, but who's really going to care about that besides, you know, history buffs and stuff? But yeah, the song opens up with this very post-metal kind of atmosphere. This drifting lead melody peering through these buzzy, droning chords and clean vocals. Kind of like Neurosis or a band like Isis or something. Not super uncommon for them. They do kind of throw this stuff in here and there on occasion. Then, of course, things switch into this really heavy, groovy, you know, buzzing set of tremolo riffs and those heavy screaming vocals before swerving back and forth between that and the opening segment with just some heavier work in there. And has a decently, you know, nice chugging segment with some swift hammer-on pull-off guitar material near the end. You know, if this kind of metalcore is your thing, then you are, of course, going to eat it up. I will be there, of course, to check it out, because I do enjoy me some Zhao to some extent. Maybe not my absolute favorite, but I usually have a good time with their albums.
I didn't dig this as much. I didn't get a very strong metalcore feel from this. This felt more like sludgy, doomy black metal, which, as you all know, is my favorite. It's really not. And because of that, my feelings across the genre remains the same, and it applies to this track. This kind of stuff just puts me to sleep. It's just not that interesting to me. The syncopated rhythms in the latter half of the song are a nice touch, but it's still not my thing.
Well, you sound like your mood is very down in the dumps right now. Perhaps we need something a bit brighter to cheer you up. Maybe something with some fizz to it. Perhaps the delicious taste of Coca-Cola.
Well, I actually have my caffeine-free Diet Coke here, so yes.
Oh, hey, that's a perfect segue. So, our next track here. So apparently, Tyler, the Creator, has been up to things musically. We have a song here from him, so obviously he's been busy with something. No word of a new album yet, but the man has taken to providing a song for Coca-Cola commercials. And we now have the track released as a standalone, you know, thing you can listen to called Tell Me How. And, I mean, it sounds like Tyler, the Creator, soundtracking Coca-Cola, all right. It opens with a flute solo played by Tyler himself, apparently. And then, as it moves on, there's the typical, you know, expectations of his more upbeat banger production, you know, the clattering percussion, lots of ad-libs like AAAs and good, good, goods in there. Those kind of synths that are often like the serene R&B types or like the super saturated menacing ones, those tropical marimbas. Altogether, it's, you know, it's a very bright track. It's quite bubbly. Like the refreshing fizzy flavor of an ice-cold cherry vanilla Coca-Cola, now available at your local Wawa. I am shilling so hard right now, please notice us.
Yeah, but it's what if the Creator did Coke, and it's right there, with a style, I can picture it being like a visual ad of, during, like, a hit a song while somebody's drinking a Coke, it's like, alright, especially with those, you know, with its own weird flourishes in between, which, all right, it's working. I mean, this was some that you would hear from his, you know, from his latter albums, like, you know, like Plowboy Boy or Igor, but yeah.
And moving on to the next track here, speaking of providing soundtracks for things, so Mitski. We have a song here from her that is supposed to appear on the soundtrack for some graphic novel called This Is Where We Fall, coming out this week, courtesy of publisher Z2 Comics, who also published that Gorilla's Almanac a while back, as well as the Skillet graphic novel, if I recall correctly.
Oh, okay. I guess the A2K thing.
Yeah. Remember that? Me neither. But, so we have a song from her on the soundtrack called The Baddie Man, and, oh hey, look at that, the honky meter and the tonk-o-meter are going off the charts on this one. Yeah, it's just Mitski doing a super basic little country ditty, not really much to it, not even a lot of lyrics, mostly just a lot of vocal humming and guitar twang, and some weird narration from the end that I'm assuming is from the graphic novel itself. It's all right, I guess.
Yeah, it's pretty sure what I said from Mitski. Like she's not much of a lyrical presence like for the West Coast albums, which, you know, it is more the aesthetic. And yeah, it's definitely some honky tonk cowboy shit right here. It's all right though.
Yeah. So moving on to the next track here. So, it feels like it's been a while since we've heard from synthwave producer Perturbator. Last significant thing we heard from him was a collaboration on that Health Disco 4 album. And he's finally announced that his new album is coming out May 28th, titled Lustful Sacraments, which, you know, sounds typical of the genre. And we have a new single here called Death of the Soul, which appears to definitely take some bit of a turn from his usual MO. See, there's some of the expected elements you'd hear in there from his style. You know, there's a lot of those droning dark synths, that, you know, heavy syncopated synth bass groove, and of course the four on the floor kick rhythms as well. But you notice that it's a bit more repetitious in its construction. There's not much of a formal song structure in there, as some of his previous material, say for that halftime break at the end. It's trying to go for a bit more of an industrial vibe than anything he's ever really done before, and it's solid enough for what it is. Admittingly, I'm kind of thinking, this honestly kind of sounds a bit like that John Carpenter album we got recently in a few respects. By the way, stay tuned to the album roundup to hear what I have to say about that, and presumably anyone's here who listened to that as well. But yeah, either way, I'm interested. I do enjoy me some Perturbators, so I'm going to check this album out when it drops.
I guess we had the same thought in mind, because I didn't have too much to say on this, but I did say, this kind of sounds like what happens when John Carpenter and Trent Reznor cross over to do some trippy industrial music. I kind of like it, but I think that may be more so the visuals than the song. I'm not entirely sure.
Yeah, that whole pinball machine thing that looks like a really dark version of whatever the hell that free game is that came on every computer we had as a kid. Simpler times. But anyway, moving on to the next track here. So, in the past month or so, the music world has unfortunately had to deal with the unexpected passing of influential producer Sophie. Obviously, a lot of, sad feelings from all that happening. But, life unfortunately must go on. And, interestingly enough, a producer came out of the woodwork with a collaborative track that they were working on with Sophie. That being one of our resident favorite footwork producers, Jay Lynn. And I'm not even going to bother to try to pronounce the name of this song. Just know that It's, you know, Jay Lynn and Sophie's names fused together into a singular word, alternating letters based on the person's name. So it sounds like it's sort of a demo-ish sort of thing. I guess they were in the middle of working on it because it feels like there might have been a bit more to it, but what you do here is kind of what you would expect from, you know, the two producers mashing up their styles together, with most of it being built on either this sort of backwards recorded warbled synth thing, or, you know, the opening half, which kind of has like this two-chord shamisen, I think it's a shamisen, loop that kind of builds out the melody, whereas the percussion is, you know, footwork as hell, with tons of spastic snare, kick, and tom work, you know, kind of, you know, being all jittery and keeping you on your feet and everything. It's an interesting track to listen to.
Yeah, it could probably be both the worlds of Jay Lynn and Sophie into one dynamic track that the essential footwork sound and Sophie's hyper pop sense sound, which just meshed all together. Like, I know it's just a demo and unfortunately that's all we might get, but maybe we got some cool work out of this. But repeat that, Sophie.
Yep. Anyway, moving on to the next track here. Holy shit, are we really just, like, what, less than 3 weeks away from the new Evanescence album?
Yeah.
Jesus Christ, it feels like it's been forever since we first heard of that thing.
Yeah, I know it has.
Yeah, Evanescence, The Bitter Truth, due out March 26th, and I'm guessing this is going to be the last single we hear from the album before it comes out. It'd be really weird because, what, this is like the fifth one by this point?
Uh-huh.
Yeah, the single we have here is called Better Without You, and honestly, I don't really have much to say about it other than, when did Evanescence discover 7-string guitars?
They've always kind of used them.
Really? First time it's ever sounded like it to me. Because there are some particularly low-end, you know, grooving, you know, guitar things going on in here.
Yeah. Well, speaking from the perspective of a more of a fan, I find it interesting that last week we marked the 18th anniversary of their major label debut, Fallen, which has sold to date just a rather modest amount of 17 million copies worldwide.
That's a lot.
Yes, it is. Very, very big album. A lot has changed since then, obviously, but for this track here, yeah, thankfully for a lot of us, this has much more of an aggressive metal groove to it, with some very heavy, low-tuned riffs, solid grooves to accompany its lyrical motifs of, yeah, fuck you, I don't need you to get ahead. And it works pretty well, and dare I say this might be the best single of the album, and of course it had to be the last single before the release at the end of the month.
Yeah.
Five singles. The first one came out last April.
Jesus Christ, good Lord. It's been a year.
Yeah, almost. And there are 12 tracks on the album.
Okay, so, yeah, it really stopped there.
Yeah, that's, they're brushing up on the Nickelback problem. But anyway, moving on to the next track here. So, yes, we have single number 2 from The Armed, their upcoming new album Ultra Pop, coming out April 16th. The track here is called Average Death, and, first off, I'm pretty sure at least one of the people in this music video is an enemy stand user. I'm pretty sure it's the person with two guns, because there's always a gun stand user. But anyway, as for the song itself, the bulk of the verses are built around this really offbeat, you know, sort of tom snare rhythm that, honestly, I've listened to the song a few times, I still can't get a feel for the count of it. Maybe it's because of the faded synthetic distortion that's, like, coating it and breaking things up alongside, you know, the bass groove kind of obscuring the count and everything. The chorus speeds things up a bit with the guitars being more prominent and adding a shoegazy atmosphere to things. Kind of reminds me of a very avant-garde version of something like Super Orchid or something. Then there's the bridge where things get, you know, much more manic and all over the place. The any sense of trying to count the rhythm here is just completely bonked. Although, you know, towards the end it does get a little bit easier to count. Yeah, just strange rhythmic switch-ups all over the place and offbeat, serene atmospheres. Maybe not as hooky and instantly catchy as something like All Futures, but definitely weird enough to be worthy of the band's name at this point.
Well, I don't know what's going on here, but I'm left both concerned and aroused. I'm not sure which is more dominant feeling of the two. Whatever this whole ultra-pop thing is going to be, it's got my attention at the very least. Though I'm pretty sure they're just fucking with us with who the actual band actually is, because I'm not sure these are the same people from the first video.
Do we know if The Armed is even their real name? For all we know, their real name could be, like, I don't know, something whatever. But this is not the time to speculate on mysteries. Save that for the mystery box. Anyway, moving on to the exact opposite of avant-garde interesting noise rock, Maroon 5.
Oh.
Speaking of discourse, I hate Adam Levine so much. Just shut the fuck up, sir. And stop making music.
They said about some shit about real bands, what the fuck he said. Aren't you proof of, like, how your band is, or whatever the hell it is, because it's
The context of that comment apparently is there are no bands in the pop sense, which, hey, if anybody would know, it would be Adam Levine, because for the last 10 or 12 years, all Maroon 5 has been has just been the Adam Levine project with a backing band.
And sometimes even then.
Yeah. And sometimes a famous rapper or singer.
Yeah. Sometimes it's Kendrick. Sometimes it's Cardi B. This week it's Megan Thee Stallion with a track called Beautiful Mistakes. And I can only offer two comments. One, at least it's short. Or at least it feels short. Yeah. And second, I guess Adam Levine doesn't honk like a goose on this one. His voice is still the exact right decibel level to piss me off, but at least it doesn't honk.
Well, at least Megan's part was good. That's what I'm gonna say about that. I mean, it's just basically the same. It's like what the usual Adam Levine shit. Like him and his vocals, which I'm really not a fan of. It's like, ooh, okay, maybe the not as goose like whatever the fuck is, but it's just like, okay, you got your tropical house, whatever the hell you think you're doing, the same shit you were doing since 3 years ago. Whatever. But yeah, it's there. I got. Like I don't like I ain't upset. It's just like and okay. I mean, I will say, why make Anita go with these guys? Considering that she's been hot now, like both in skill and popularity.
Just this feels like collecting a paycheck.
Yeah. Which go ahead and get your money. Like, not about that.
Anyway, moving on to the next track here. We got a new single here from... Yeah. So, after getting caught up in some lawsuits, so we hear, Mr. Chance the Rapper brings us a new song here. Yeah, new music from Chance. Let's see how that goes. So, the song here is called The Heart and the Tongue. Thankfully, we are spared an album announcement for now, or a mixtape, or EP, or anything. This is just a standalone, as far as we know. But, anyway, first off, no. This video, no. Say what you will about the overly edited nature of something like, I don't know, a deathcore lyric video, but at least those motherfuckers bother to keep multiple words on the screen for more than a couple of fucking milliseconds. I fucking hate shit like this when they just edit word by word, literally at the exact rhythm that it's being, you know, sung or rapped. Like, Jesus Christ, just let the sentence... Just have the sentence subtitled at the bottom of the screen, you know. That's how anime does it, and it's perfectly fine there. Especially when the only lyric that stays on screen for more than 2 seconds is sample when a very obviously noticeable sample is playing. You know, because we needed to be told that was a sample and we couldn't have figured it out on our own. Sorry, that's just a thing. I fucking hate that. But anyway, as for the actual song itself, at least the production isn't bad or cringy. It's, you know, typical gentle gospel soul vibes, like reminiscent of his, well, dignified material. And as for the lyrics, it's not explicitly cringy at first. Like, there's no "good burger should have told you we all dudes." In fact, it would be a fairly self-serious song about, you know, dealing with internal struggles between your thoughts and your feelings, your emotions and all that. Unsure of what to say or do in tough situations. There's, of course, expected religious references and all that. Pontius Pilate, Daniel in the Lion's Den, the Holy Ghost and all that shit. And while the lines aren't as bad, there's still a couple I gotta address here. This one passage in particular. My heart and mind are beefing. I call them rhyme and reason. They always going head to head. I'm trying to Siamese them. My father got a special set of skills just like Liam Neeson.
What the fuck? Oh,
look, I understand stretching things for a rhyme, but just no. I mean, the line you're trying to rhyme it with is already bad enough with Siamese-um. But, dude, Chance, what the fuck?
You know, I would like this track if it was 5 or 6 years ago. But given that, this was something from, you know, from him and his bullshit, like, the song is basically a usual Chance Rapper song, which I'm already in the middle of, and they're like, it's fine, I listened to a couple times, I was like, I don't know, I can't really gel with that after the whole bullshit with him, and everything else, and that ain't just the whole album, bro, that's what, and I've been hearing about ever since it got that Grammy, the whole MTV shit, the whole whatever. One thing I said, the losing Chance Rapper as a Booga guy kind of wore out on me, is what I'm saying.
Yeah. But, anyway.
Yeah. Let's get some good shit.
Yeah, we got one last track here, and it's certainly a bit of an interesting one. So, It has been about 5 years, just about, since we got the last full-length Bruno Mars album, 24 Karat Magic. And he has finally announced a new studio album that he's working on, but it's not a solo, you know, effort, which, by the way, anybody else think it's weird that Bruno Mars has only had, like, 3 full-length albums so far? The amount of songs he's had out there, it feels like he's released more than that, but anyway. So, yeah, this new project of his is not a solo outing. It is, in fact, part of a collaborative effort called Silk Sonic, which sees the retro, funk, soul, R&B, pop icon teaming up with none other than the man himself, Anderson motherfucking Paak. In a collaboration that hopefully will finally see Paak hit the big time. Like, seriously, it's amazing how that guy, you know, for as good as his music is and as big as his fan base is, he's legit not had any significant pop hits at all. Which, you know, given the fascination with the retro revival from places like, you know, Bruno Mars, Daft Punk's Random Access Memories, even shit like Dua Lipa, you think that would leave him some room. And maybe I'm still a bit salty about Bubble It not being a charting hit. God damn it.
Yeah, I've been salty about how Anderson .Paak has not been on the charts, because I guess once you claim. Oh, I'm more pissed at the fact that the only time he had charted is during an Eminem album bomb, which I talked about last year, which I'm still pissed at.
Talk about a monkey's paw.
Yeah. But anyway, the song we got here is titled Leave the Door Open. And I just gotta say, because, you know, I was cautious going into this, and after that I say, wow, I love this song. I listened to this more and more times today, or this week, after it came out. Like, it's just dripping with so much soul and funk, and so much, it's fucking good. Like, it's love making music. It's music you use to make love to. Like, you got Paak, you got all the band together. You got the smooth, silky, satin vocals from both Paak and Bruno Mars, and it's like early '80s. Like, fuck, this is so far between my favorite song or single I've been hearing this year so far, and. Also, and about this, when they do the whole band thing, they said they got it from Bootsie Collins, which that makes sense, but man, this track is silky smooth, soulful, and this was a few times which when the last few seconds plays, I repeat that over and over and over again, like I didn't have to hear that. That's like a perfect way to end. Perfect way to end a song. It's just it was so much. Like, man, I'm just gonna mind hearing a song like this. But we'll add this. You have to be a hit. Come on, man! Come on, man! Y'all give Anderson .Paak a hit. I mean, Bruno Mars, who's you know a certified hit maker. I mean, most shit he does charts.
Yeah, who knows? I mean, Paak's last album did finally chart in the top 10, hell, the top 5 for the first time in his entire career. So maybe there's some momentum there. And, bringing these two together brings exactly the results you would expect. Some smooth-ass baby-making music, Bruno Mars bringing those belting, soulful vocals, and Paak bringing that aggressively horny-on-main funk swagger to him. Plus, it's pretty cool to hear him lay down some smooth-ass drums on the track. Sometimes I forget that that's a thing he does on a lot of his albums as well. This sounds like a jam that Motown Records probably would have released back in their prime days. You know, when Berry Gordy Jr. wasn't fucking around and finding out. But basically about does it for all the new song discussions. We are going to take a quick break, and when we come back, we have a bit of news to discuss, so stay tuned. I was getting some head, getting And we're back. First bit of news we have to discuss here is, oh hey, look at that. More business and corporate consolidation in the music sphere. That's always fun.
Yep. I guess it's my time to step in because I'm the business guy around here. So this is an interesting story involving one Jay-Z and Jack Dorsey, a.k.a. the guy who still doesn't know that banning the Nazis is a good thing. Just do it, Jack. What the fuck is wrong with you? But we're not here to talk about that because while Jack Dorsey is also busy with that venture, he also has another venture, Square. Not the game company, but the little thing where you go to like a food vendor or, you know, like a convention booth. They have a little card swipe thing on their phone. Yeah, that's Square. They make tons of money off of that kind of stuff. And it would appear that Square has announced a deal in process, presumably, to acquire a, quote, significant majority of Tidal for about $297 million in stock and cash, with Jay-Z joining the board of Square, which will probably mean something, I'm not entirely sure. So apparently this might have to do with Jay-Z selling 50% stake of his champagne company, Armand de Brignac, or Ace of Spades, to Louis Vuitton. I think I'm reading this right.
Wait, Vuitton as in the designer Vuitton?
I think so. Because,
I mean,
you know,
there's another Louis Vuitton out there.
Because, you know, the year 2020 made sure everyone didn't make any money. But, yeah, there's a whole bunch of business stuff going on here. We don't have time to really talk about all this stuff here, but who knows what this will lead to. Either way, I gotta remember to cancel my subscription after April because my 4 months for $4 deal is almost up.
Already did it.
Wait, that's a thing?
They do that every couple of months because
they need
subscribers at any cost.
yeah, pretty much. That's why I did it. I canceled early.
Well, to Tidal and to Jack and Jay-Z, good luck with all of that. You know, presumably it'll be another distraction from you having to, you know, run your damn website and do your damn job. Seriously, does this man even use the website he created? Fucking gonna make people charge for super tweets, my ass.
That's what we have OnlyFans for.
Yeah, and OnlyFans is, you know, better than charging people to read. Like, what? Are you going to charge people $5 to read some bullshit like, the Burger King chicken sandwich is really good. I sure hope nothing happens on Twitter to spoil this opinion. Now let me check their social media. Who the hell runs Burger King's advertising? I'm sorry, that's neither here nor there. I just had to get that out there. But anyway, moving on to the next topic here. So, yeah, while things might be looking up mildly in regards to the coronavirus pandemic, more vaccines being shipped out there, and that they're free government money, things are still kind of fucked because, you know, obviously things that people want to do over the summer are probably still not going to happen. You know, delays, festival cancellations, people being self-righteously indignant over having to wear a piece of cloth over their goddamn face, and about just getting the vaccine in general. But, you know, this fucking society. But anyway, in the still ongoing realm of festival postponements and cancellations, it appears that Rockin' Rio has been forced to cancel the 2021 edition of its festivals in both Lisbon, Portugal, and Rio de Janeiro. The former originally taking place in June, and the latter taking place in September. or rather it was. They've been rescheduled for 2022, you know, roughly same months and everything. And, yeah, which means you'll have to wait until 2022 to potentially see acts like Iron Maiden, Dream Theater, Megadeth, and Sepultura, which was also going to feature an appearance by the Orquestra Sinfonica Brasileira. I'm probably pronouncing that horribly, but that's apparently a very famous Brazilian orchestra. So, yeah, two Rock in Rio postponements in a row. They probably won't have to by next year. You know, assuming things go smoothly, which, God, I hope.
yeah, we're very much still operating on the six-month timetable for everything, and as much as we would like for things to get better soon, it's going to take a lot more time and effort and work for everything to go forward in a very smooth fashion. Unlike Australia, who managed to find a way to figure this out in a way that is both smart and sane. Because they have concerts and festivals going on over there. Isn't it friggin' grand?
I am so very jealous of Australia right now.
Yeah, they get packed concerts and festivals. And we have dumb fucks in Idaho teaching their kids, hey, burn your masks, you're not gonna need them.
yeah. Anyway, moving on to the last topic here. Dear God, are we really coming up with the Grammys already? Like,
yeah, they're this Sunday.
Damn, how the fuck did 2 months pass already? Like, remember when they got delayed out to March? I honestly thought they were going to get delayed again. You know, because there was a whole bunch of shit happening, but yeah, apparently this Sunday, March 14th, Grammy Awards are happening, and we now have the confirmed list of, you know, multiple performers that are going to be performing at the ceremony. So, yeah, taking place in and around, quote, the Los Angeles Convention Center under COVID protocols, your list of performers is as follows. Bad Bunny, Black Pumas, Cardi B, BTS, Brandi Carlisle, DaBaby, Doja Cat, Billie Eilish, Mickey Guyton, okay, the band Haim, Brittany Howard, Miranda Lambert, Lil Baby, okay, so we have the good baby and the bad baby, Dua Lipa, oh fucking goddamn it, Chris Martin, why?
Speaking of bands that don't exist.
Oh, God, fucking John Mayer, why? Megan Thee Stallion. Maren Morris. Post Malone. You know, Roddy Ricch. Harry Styles. And Taylor Swift.
Oh boy, I'm gonna have fun taking notes on Sunday, aren't I?
Ah, God, there's always... How much you bet there's gonna be just, like, the squeak thing? Like, I wouldn't be surprised if, like, Roddy Ricch's performance had, like, a bunch of TikToks playing in the background all about the box. That feels like something they would do in our socially distanced COVID hellscape. Hmm... And then DaBaby and Lil Baby get on stage to perform Baby. That song was a mistake. But, yeah, so you're gonna have all those wonderful musical performances. It's eking up time and, you know, somehow finding a way to bloat this broadcast to the usual expected runovers. I'm expecting at least 30 minutes this year.
I mean, I'm pretty sure it's slated to go until 11:30 as usual, so it'll probably end at like 11:40.
I wish. But there's the cynical part of my brain that's sure they'll find a way.
Even though they need limited shit because you can't be clowns and them like that.
Yeah. But, yeah, you'll be sure to look forward to our bitch fest about that soon enough. But, anyway, now that all the news is out of the way, we got one more thing we gotta bring up here, and that is the new album releases for the week of March 12th, 2021. First up, from metalcore band Gizmachi, we have Omega Khalid. From sludge metalers I Hate God, we have A History of Nomadic Behavior. From Rob Zombie, we have The Lunar Injection Kool-Aid Eclipse Conspiracy. For those of you who still give a shit about Richie Blackmore from Deep Purple, his project Blackmore's Night has a new album out called Nature's Light.
Sounds like a beer.
Of course, there's the new project from DJ Muggs, The Black Goat, with Dies Occidentum, which I just realized. Isn't that that anime adaptation of that light novel that has that chick whose boobs are way too big for her height?
More specific, please.
I don't know. That could be anything.
Oh, no, wait. I'm thinking of Occultic Nine. The show never shut the fuck up.
Oh, yeah. I forgot about that show.
Anyway, there's a new EP from Selena Gomez called Revelacion. And, of course, there's a new solo project from Nick Jonas called Spaceman. For some reason. But anyway, time to clean house and get the hell out of here. So, Alex, where can they find you on the internet?
As always, Aura of Azure, where I'm lurking around all sorts of places, usually popping up to talk about whatever I feel like talking about, because, gotta find some ways to occupy my mind and also try and stay sane while I do my yearly ritual of taking notes for the Grammys. That's going to be a lot of fun.
Yeah. Mark, what about you?
I can see my hacking self is on Twitter at MacTavernMedia and on my website. DevonHighwaterHighwaterHighwaterHighwaterHighwaterHighwaterHighwaterHighwaterHighwaterHighwaterHighwaterHighwaterHighwaterHighwaterHighwaterHighwaterHighwaterHighwaterHighwaterHighwaterHighwaterHighwaterHighwaterHighwaterHighwaterHighwaterHighwaterHighwaterHighwaterHighwaterHighwaterHighwaterHighwaterHighwaterHighwaterHighwaterHighwaterHighwaterHighwaterHighwaterHighwaterHighwaterHighwaterHighwaterHighwaterHighwaterHighwaterHighwaterHighwaterHighwaterHighwaterHighwaterHighwaterHighwaterHighwaterHighwaterHighwaterHighwaterHighwaterHighwaterHighwaterHighwaterHighwaterHighwaterHighwaterHighwaterHighwaterHighwaterHighwaterHighwaterHighwaterHighwaterHighwaterHighwaterHighwaterHighwaterH
Twitter, Instagram, etc. at Rob Barracuda. Email me, robert@sewerresolution.com for questions, comments, concerns, and inquiries. Be sure to subscribe to the podcast on Google Play and iTunes. New audio-only episodes go up every Wednesday. Video usually goes up on the official YouTube channel. Subscribe, hit the bell tab so you're notified whenever anything goes up there. Be sure to follow us on Twitter at SewerReso. Like us on Facebook. So be sure to visit the website, SewerResolution.com, for written articles, this podcast, podcast O&A, and all that good stuff. Be sure to jump into our Discord so you can, you know, talk about things or post memes. You know, we're not picky. And, of course, a shout-out to the producer, Mr. E, for graciously letting me use his music for this podcast. Links to his shit down in the description. Well, that'll about do it for this week. We'll, of course, be back later on this week with the album roundup for February 2021. And, of course, next week with the Grammy bitching and all that. Assuming it's at least interesting enough to give us things to bitch about. There's always the chance it could just be empty and full of nothing. I'm prepared for that as well. So, yeah, thank you for listening, and until next time. Man, fuck Jimmy Pesto.
Yep.